Title: One Bar Hooks That Stay Memorable Advanced. All right, let's build a one bar hook that actually sticks in drum and bass. Not a cool sound that happens to loop, but a hook with identity. The kind of thing that's recognizable even when the drop is doing the most at 174 BPM. Here's the target: a one bar idea that does two jobs at once. First, it has to be instantly readable, even if it only flashes by. Second, it has to survive repetition in a dense genre without getting annoying. And the way we pull that off is rhythm identity, timbral identity, and controlled variation. Same skeleton, different lighting. Open Ableton Live and set your tempo to 174 BPM. Before you touch anything else, give yourself headroom. While composing, keep your master peaking around minus 6 dB. You want room to push later, and you don't want loudness to trick you into thinking something is better than it is. Now create four groups: drums, bass, hook, and effects. And here's a mindset shift that helps a lot. Put the hook in the arrangement early. Don't wait until the drums are perfect. In DNB, the hook decides where the drums breathe. If you build an insanely busy drum loop first, your hook is forced to live in the cracks, and it'll feel like background texture. Step 1 is building a hook-friendly drum pocket. Start with a basic two-step or roller. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4. You can add ghost notes, rides, shuffles, whatever your style is, but keep the first bar relatively clean while we're designing the hook. Bass is part of the sound. On the drums group, drop on a glue compressor. Set attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2 to 1, and aim for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. This is not about smashing, it's about making the drum pocket feel glued so the hook can sit on top. Then add an EQ8. If your drums feel boxy, do a tiny dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Tiny, we're just clearing a little window. Now let's talk hook lane. In drum and bass, one bar hooks that people remember tend to live in the mid-range, somewhere roughly 400 Hz up to about 4K Hz. Sub is powerful, but it's more felt than remembered. And the super high tops can get masked by hats and air. Mid-range carries character, and character is what brains remember. So we're going to build a hook that sits above the bass, but still feels like bass music. Now we write the hook rhythm. This is the big one. Your rhythm is the hook, not your notes. Make a MIDI track called Hook. Main. Load Wavetable or Operator. Set your clip length to one bar and loop it. Use this as a starting rhythm template on a 16th grid. Think of it as a strong downbeat, a push that plays against the snare, and a late hit that pulls you back into the loop. That last part matters way more than most people realize. The loop point is where memory gets reinforced. Program this feel: hit on beat 1, then a syncopated bounce through beats 2 and 3, then a hit late in beat 4 that feels like it answers and resets the bar. If you want a specific map, you can think, play on 1, the end of 1, somewhere around the E of 2 or the end of 2, then again around the end of 3, and then a final turnaround hit late in the bar. Don't worry if your exact placement differs. The goal is a silhouette you can recognize. Now an advanced groove move. Add micro timing with intention. In the clip view, nudge one or two notes slightly late using per note delay. Something like plus 5 to plus 12 milliseconds. Don't scatter random timing everywhere. Choose the same one or two hits every time, so it becomes part of the hook's swagger. The listener should hear phrase, not mistake. Next, pitch strategy. The more advanced you get, the more you'll realize simple pitch vocab wins. Use 2 to 4 notes max. Pick a key. Let's go F minor for a classic dark lane. Use F, ab, and C. Root, flat 3rd, 5th. Here's the rule. One note is home base, usually the root, and the last hit of the bar should do something deliberate. If it lands on F, it feels resolve. If it lands on C, it feels like it wants to loop again, like a spring being reset. That last hit is your loop point payoff. Now we design a hook sound that cuts through big drums and bass. Option A. Wavetable, modern rave bite. In Wavetable, start with OSC 1 on basic shapes, leaning squarish. OSC 2 on saw, detune slightly. Add unison, 2 to 4 voices, with amount around 10 to 20%. Then use a filter like MS2 or PRD. Put cutoff somewhere around 600 Hz to 1.5 kHz as a starting range, and add drive, maybe 3 to 8 dB. You're carving a focused mid character, not a full spectrum supersaw. Make the amp envelope short and punchy. Attack basically instant, like 0 to 3 ms. Decay around 150 to 300 ms. Sustain low, 0 to 20%. Release 50 to 120 ms. We want it to speak like a stab, not wash like a pad. Now the device chain. Add saturator first. turn soft clip-on, drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. This helps the hook feel printed and forward. Then AQ8, high pass around 120 to 200 HE. Your hook does not get to fight the bass. If you need presence, add a gentle boost around 1.5 to 3 kHz. Add auto filter after that, and map cutoff to a macro so we can do controlled movement later. Then utility. If this is a layer or a mid/top hook, you can widen a bit, like 120 to 160%. But remember, stereo is a privilege. If everything is wide, nothing is wide. In most drops, keep the identity element more central. Option B, operator for a vocalish stab. Use an FM algorithm where B modulates slightly. Add a small pitch envelope amount for a little yelp at the start. Then try corpus at a very low mix to add a resonant talk tone. The point isn't realism, it's attitude and recognizability. Now let's lock in the hook fingerprint. Think of it as three layers. First, rhythm silhouette, where the hits land. That's your non-negotiable skeleton. Second, gesture. Something like a pitch bend, a grace note, a choke, or an accent. One repeatable move. Third, spectral stamp. A consistent resonant peak or distortion tone that makes it identifiable even under masking. A great test is, could you recognize the hook if it was played through a cheap phone speaker inside a busy drop? Let's actually do a quick masking test inside Ableton. After your hook chain, drop a utility and set width to 0%. Turn bass mono on if you want to be extra strict. Then low pass with auto filter down to around 2 kHz. If your hook still reads, you've got real identity. If it disappears, your hook is relying on stereo sparkle and highs, not on a core fingerprint. Now to make it memorable over time, we add microvariation. The key phrase is, change the surface, not the skeleton. First variation method, alternate the last eighth note every two bars. Duplicate your one bar clip. In clip 2, change only one thing at the end. Change the last note pitch, like C to AB, or change its length slightly, or add a tiny grace note, a quick 1/32 or 1/16 leading into the last hit. The listener hears evolution, but still latches onto the hook. Second, velocity as phrase punctuation. Make the first hit of the bar louder, like velocity 110. Make supportive hit softer, 50 to 80. You're basically telling the ear what the words are and what the syllables are. Third, timbral movement, but keep it disciplined. Automate only one thing at a time. Auto filter cutoff in a small range, like 900 HC to 1.4 kHz, or wavitable position subtly, or saturator drive in a tiny 1 to 2 dB window. If you change rhythm, pitch, and timbre all at once, you lose the hook. Here's an advanced variation tool if you're on Live 11 or 12, probability. Pick one supportive hit, not a main hit, and set chance to around 30 to 50%. Now the loop breathes, but the identity stays. Another advanced approach is repeatable micro timing. Make two clips. Clip 1 is straight timing. Clip 2 has only two or three notes nudged early or late consistently. Alternate them every two bars. That creates a phrase feel without sounding sloppy. Now we add the support hook, the candy layer. This is ear candy that makes the hook feel bigger without competing for attention. Create another track, hook, candy. You can use a reversed stab into beat 1, a noise burst on the end of 2, a tiny vocal chop tucked low, or a short texture at the bar end. Load simpler with a one-shot sample. Then auto-filter to high pass around 300 to 800 HC if it muddies. Add echo with 1/8 or 1/4 dotted timing, feedback around 15 to 35%, a little modulation. Add reverb, with decay around 0.8 to 1.8 seconds, pre-delay 10 to 25 ms, and low cut around 400 to 800 HZ. Then utility, widen it hard, like 160 to 200%, and turn it down until it's felt more than heard. DNB trick, keep the candy wide, keep the main hook more central. That way, even when the mix is hectic, the identity stays stable in the middle, and the vibe lives on the sides. Now the pro move, resampling. This is where a hook stops feeling like a patch and starts feeling like a record. Group your hook, main and hook, candy into a hook bus. On that bus, add a light glue compressor, then saturator with soft clip. Optional, a tiny bit of redux, like 1 to 3%, just for grit. Create a new audio track called Hook Resample. Set its input to resampling. Record 4 to 8 bars of your hook loop. Now edit. Slice out the best one bar. Add tiny fades so it loops cleanly. Try warp modes. Complex Pro is great for tonal material. Beets can be amazing for gritty stabs. Try preserve set to transients. The reason this works is you're committing the sound. You stop endlessly tweaking oscillators and start making musical edits like a sampler musician. If you want a fast way to generate variants, drop the printed hook into simpler and switch to slice mode. Slice by transient, then replay slices with the same rhythm. You get same but different instantly, because each slice has its own texture fingerprint. Let's add one more sound design trick that's ridiculously effective, the mid-range notch identity stamp. Put a Q8 on the hook and do a narrow bell boost, with a Q of about 6 to 10 somewhere, between 1.2 and 3.5 kHz. Boost 2 to 5 dB. Then add another bell nearby and cut a little to control harshness. That fixed resonant stamp becomes your recognizability anchor. Even when the mix is dense, that little laser pointer in the spectrum helps the hook read. And if your hook needs more bite without adding a dedicated transient shaper, use drum bus on it. Yes, on a synth. Heap drive low, like 1 to 5. Crunch 0 to 20%. Add a little transience if it needs to speak. It can make short stabs pop right through snares and hats. Now arrangement. The goal is to keep the 1-bar hook memorable across 16 to 32 bars. Try an 8-bar call and response structure. Bars 1 to 4, hook A only, mostly dry and centered. This is your reference state. Bars 5 to 8, hook A plus candy. Same hook, bigger world. Bars 9 to 12, hook A, filter open slightly. Don't overdo it. You're adding energy, not rewriting. Bars 13 to 16, drop the hook out for 1 bar, then slam it back. Negative space is memorable. It's like the track takes a breath and then punches again. Then do identity checkpoints. Every 8 or 16 bars, bring back the plainest version of the hook for 1 bar. No extra effects, no fancy automation. This re-imprints the hook in the listener's brain. It's a psychological reset. And in DNB, the snare is the ruler, so give it breathing points. Every 4 or 8 bars, shorten or mute the hook right on the snare hits, even by 20 to 40 milliseconds. The backbeat feels louder, and the groove tightens, without changing your drums. For drop control at peak moment, like bar 15 into 16, do a reverb throw on candy only for half a bar, cut the hook for a quarter bar, then bring it back on beat 1 with full drums. That little disappearance makes the return feel huge. Also, automate sends, not inserts. For controlled excitement, put echo and reverb on return tracks and automate send amounts at phrase endings. This audio version is shortened for playback.